maybe they went through, mm-hmm. we were not there.
Yeah.
And the dispensation in which we are now
yeah.
has given some of us the freedom to say some things that people of old yeah. cannot say.
Yeah.
Because they have to fight maybe with rational decisions mm-hmm. like the Dutch and coming against this thing. You understand?
Yeah.
So we still have to respect them.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, do we give mm-hmm. them that respect? And if the fathers sometimes, so they also have to play their part mm-hmm. that they will make themselves known to us as a father. Mm-hmm. If you are a father, the word father in Hebrew is called pater, that is a protector and a provider.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are a father, you must be able to protect mm-hmm. and provide.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm your son and you're not protecting me yeah, and you're not providing for me, you don't expect me to respect you as a father.
Yes.
So there is two parties that we have to address.
Yeah.
How we the children can respect the fathers and how the fathers can play their role as a father in the community.
Okay, because of time, I just want to put before us, I know this issue has many sides and it's deeper than we are dealing right now. But let me just present the situation before you and let me see how you react to it, okay?
Now, I don't know if I can add a bit to what you just said. Yeah, because we are talking about taking
responsibility.
Fathers taking responsibilities.
But the question is, because we are saying this, we don't know who the fathers are, and they're not rising up to show who they are.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's you, maybe it's me, maybe it's somebody else, we don't know. But we see there's a need there. Go ahead.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
My brother just said,
yeah.
you know, Moses was called by God to lead the people.
Yeah.
But then the Bible says it got to a point
mm-hmm.
that his father-in-law, Jethro,
came in.
Visited him and he saw that Moses had a need.
Yeah.
You see, he saw how he was going about his daily
ministry.
Activities.
Uh-huh.
Then Jethro saw that, well, I have something that I can give
to help
his ministry.
Mm-hmm.
Then he called on to Moses,
yeah.
told him that Moses, if you can do this and that to help the people,
yeah.
it is going to help you. So Moses also being the leader of the congregation,
yeah.
he agreed mm-hmm. to what the father-in-law said.
Yeah.
Then what the advice that he was given, when he took it,
mm-hmm.
it also helped him. So like you just said, or you asked earlier on,
uh-huh.
that is it possible for somebody to jump?
Uh-huh.
If I come to you uh-huh. and I see that there is a need,
problem.
There is a problem, then maybe I can share that problem with you.
Mm-hmm.
If only the friend is going to
receive
be open-minded
okay.
and know that, well, this is the fact or this uh-huh. is the truth that my brother is trying
so
to
So in application to what we are saying, if there are issues in another person's church, as long as we are all in the same kingdom and we want the progress of what we are doing, we mustn't hold back help
definitely.
Where we can give it.
Mm.
Is that the
that is point?
I disagree with
you
that.
Disagree with that? Okay.
Yes.
Why?
In the sense that
yes.
if I am not in a good terms with you,
uh-huh.
you can't just come to my house and start correcting me. You understand? So the
yeah.
first thing is
yeah.
there should be that kind of understanding between you and me.
Relationship.
I can't just come in. Yeah, that relationship.
Okay.
I can't just come to your house and tell you where you put your center table is not right. You understand? You can choose to put it on your television. It's your house. That's what gives you comfort. You understand? But then if we are friends, then I have the right to talk about it. So we have to see the ministry that there are certain places when we come to that understanding and know ourselves, begin to build a relationship that you can come to my church and preach, then you can see a mistake. And so maybe what this usher was doing, if you do this, it would have been better. You are
yeah.
coming to help build.
Yeah.
You understand?
But so if I also don't have if I don't have good relationship with you
uh-huh.
for the first place, I cannot even come to you.
That's yeah. it.
Because Jethro was having good relationship
with
Moses.
Uh-huh.
He went there.
That's it.
See, so if I don't have any...
Building that relationship is very important.
Yes, but
so
then it has to be on cordial relationship. I cannot just, like I know I said from earlier on that
mm-hmm.
you cannot just stand up and enter into
somebody's
people's business
yes,
while
I agree with that.
You haven't been invited.
Well,
yeah.
I want to say something here.
Yeah.
Just permit me for 1 minute.
Yeah.
And that has to do with what Reverend Prosper King said 12 years ago when he started his church. But I want to say that as far back as that 12 years ago when he started his church, We are about 15 minutes now, 15 years now. People in our church, about 15 of them, or 12 left.
Yeah.
And they were all our praise and worship leaders. They left to his church. And we were not friendly with him.
Yes.
We have not really known him. We didn't even know who was called Prosper King.
Yes.
But we knew that people pulled that, and all of these were supposed to be leaders we were training.
Yes.
To his church.
Yes.
And then we were, was it not? What happened, honey? They all left. And we were wondering, what really, who is this Prosper King? So, because we don't know him, we don't know from where he came from. So he started his church, and then we were wondering, how are we supposed? So we knew that we went to at least one of the fathers. We said, what can we do in a situation like this? Because almost 15 of our leaders, they are there. First and foremost, we called them, and when they left, they never told us why they were leaving. One girl just rioted because we disciplined her. That's Macy Bruce. We disciplined that lady because she connived with some people, some men in her ministry, and went to her home and said she was doing dry fasting. And from there, she began to ask them certain things which I cannot say here to do with her. So eventually, then she combed all of those people who were her sort, and then they all left. They were not. So when we tried to get in touch with them, they never. We did everything we could. We could not reach them, and we didn't know where Pastor Prosper King was meeting. We only heard I've left to Prosper King's church.
Yeah.
And then my husband asked me, "You know who this person is?" I said, "I don't know," but we leave it to the Lord. So one time, a certain lady came from Britain, and that lady preached very powerfully. We just even saw that that lady who came to ambushment, that's where we met her, because she was introduced there. By then, it's not yet ambushment. You know, remember that the lady from Britain? So eventually, we decided when we saw the poster of that lady, she was to preach somewhere, and it happened to be Pastor Prosper King's church. I knew that we still went. We went there, even when we went there, we made sure that some of our people who were there, whom we are trained, they didn't have interpreter. We said maybe they can interpret. They didn't have dancers who dance with flag. We said, my daughters were dancing, and they created another atmosphere in that environment. So what I want to say is that sometimes the elderly ministers don't come out boldly to say, okay, we know him, we can call him and rectify. But what they say to us, oh, you know, when the water is dry, the sheep lives. Is that the right word?
Amazing.
Please, can you now give them?
So, so these issues were tackled. We didn't. I mean, it must have pained us a little when that thing happened. But here he is. Mm. He has been one of our good friends today.
Mm, yeah. Those days.
These people left your church. You didn't do that.
Yeah, because in those days, like we were saying, the mistakes that we are doing, that's what's happening now, could also happen again. Because in those days, I don't know you. You don't know me.
Yeah.
And then there were no fathers that would come to me and said, and okay, this is what we heard.
And this is
what will you do about it? Nobody told me anything.
Yeah,
so I always felt, okay, yes, these are the people God are calling for me. But what happens is eventually those people will leave again.
Yeah.
So when we now come to address things like this,
yeah.
it's about time we find out, because then experience is a best teacher.
Yeah.
That what she just said now can help somebody who is coming up that, if I go up pulling people from other churches, and it's not me raising them, they are not from God, it's possible they will leave.
Then
you come back to square one. So that is why it is very important now for us to create that platform there will be people we can look up to.
Yeah.
We have to find people who are spiritually mature, sound, that can take their position as fathers, so can also, but then and with the children, we must also find that humility in our heart to humble ourselves.
And to listen to the advice.
So that there will be peace.
Absolutely.
The ministry has now become give and take.
You
give this and take this, and it's not very pleasant at all.
Not at all.
Some of us, like we are saying, three of us here, we have no problem with each other.
But
it could also be that somebody from my place has left to this place, and another place from this. It came to a point that I realized that we have to do much with maturity.
Yeah.
If that person will not know the right thing to do, I'll have to start doing the right thing for that person to see. And I think with that, we will get
We'll go far, Well, the next question I was going to bring, I don't think we'll have the time for that. But whilst we're speaking, I thought of something. I said, hey, you know, we the pastors, we know we talk about getting together and uniting and all that, which really is not coming. But have we ever got together to just to pray? Let's say a day of fasting and prayer for all pastors in the city, regardless of whether you are from Pentecost or Undercoast or Upper Coast, you know, regardless of your denominational ties, you know, do we have something that brings us together just for the sake of being together for prayer alone? Because we're talking about relationship being the basis of, you know, getting involved in each other's affairs. So we don't have anything really which can bring us together.
Please.
But how are we going to go beyond this level?
Prayer thing will not work.
No, because I'm not saying if prayer.
No, I'm just saying that if you want to build a relationship, we have to bring it to a practical example.
Yeah.
How do you make friends?
How do you
make friends? Begins by communication.
Okay, sure.
So if I'm free-hearted and I'm talking with you, gradually calling one another, visiting one another, then you become a friend.
Friends.
But you just can call me, let's come and pray, or let's come and eat.
Yeah.
If I have to make time for you because you give your time to somebody to win the person as a friend.
Absolutely.
So the time that you have to give is what is very crucial.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody knows his time. It is believed that time is money.
Mm-hmm.
So who is ready to give his time for this? And that's why most things that we are doing, some of them are not working because nobody wants to commit his or her time to something that will not benefit
him or her.
Because everybody asks at the long run, what do I gain? Benefit? Yeah.
Okay, we just 1 minute, Pastor Blige. What do you have to say regarding what you say, or any extra comment before we leave?
With this prayer thing, it's going to be difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because, you know, we all have our
prayer schedules,
and programs for our ministries and other things. You see, and there are also a lot of activities also in the city.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the best thing for us to do is to, you know, relate.
Let me see somebody's
good one to another. You see, I think that is more important now than.
Hello, good morning. Hello, good morning. I think I lost the call. Okay, go ahead, sir.
Is it? So, you know, it will be very difficult. They're very difficult for them.
Okay, what if somebody organizes an annual party for all pastors? Would that be a good idea?
You know, like,
let's come at 8.
Some people may be able to attend, some will not, you see. And if it happens like that, it should not be like that. Maybe this person is against me or that person is against me. Because not all of us can honor all appointments at the same time.
Hello, good morning.
Hello, good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Now we can hear you.
Okay. I would like to contribute a little to this. I'm not a pastor.
Yeah.
But a Christian. I go to church.
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am.
I want to say the prayer thing can work.
It can work.
If you see coming together as a priority, you make time for it. It shouldn't be weekly or monthly,
also
quarterly. That is where you start networking.
Mm-hmm.
You're not just go to a church and then start making a friend. You're invited, probably the gap is that big. And this prayer as believers bring us together.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you. Because if we say prayer cannot work, then what business do we have even standing in the pulpit?
Home, visit my church, and that's where it starts.
Wow. I love that, madam. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You made my day. Okay. I think she has a point. Just one minute and then we're off. We're done.
I believe that we can start from somewhere because initially we must try to build up a relationship.
Uh-huh.
Because Paul advised us in Ephesians 4.
You know, man of God, when you say that, people think, well, I have to wait till I can be friends with somebody before we can get along. No. I think we should begin to be, look, if I begin to pray for you, Robert Chagley, there's no way I'm not going to begin to fall in love with you.
Exactly.
Let's begin to pray for ourselves.
Yeah.
And then it's going to start from there, I believe. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, so he advised us that endeavor to keep the unity of the spirit in the bond of peace.
Hmm.
So that's the word of God from Apostle Paul. So I believe that we must begin some talk here by building a relationship.
Well, for
this discussion. And now we are about to enter into our legal segment. We encourage you to stay tuned. Let's just take this quick announcement. The Nigerian Netherlands Business and Investment Forum are having their conference in Den Haag from the 4th to the 7th June 2013. Fees for advertisement in the brochure for the Business and Investment Forum are as follows: 900 euros for full page and 500 euros for half page. You can get more information on www.nigembassybusforum.com. I repeat it, nigembassybusforum.com. www.nigembassybusforum.com. We invite all our entrepreneurs and businessmen to do everything to be a part of this upcoming forum. You will have the opportunity to see other investors, interact with other businessmen, and with also some of the dignitaries that are coming from Nigeria. The date again is on the 4th to the 7th June 2013. The venue is at Den Haag. So you go to the website and then you can get more information. God bless you.
Amsterdam, Belgium, Paris, and Europe. Thank God that another year is here with us. 2013 will be your year of elevation and your year of restoration. The Armageddon Prayer and Revival Conference is stopping at Praise Valley Temple in Amsterdam from Thursday, the 9th of May, to Sunday, the 12th of May. The dates again: Thursday the 9th through Sunday the 12th, every evening from Thursday to Friday at 6 p.m. each night. Believers and Christians across the city of Amsterdam and the nation of Holland, and our neighbors from Belgium, from Paris, France, and from England, and the team from Ghana are coming to move the skies and the heavens. Oh my God. And the Spirit of the Lord shall cover the earth again as the glory of the Lord comes down. We are expecting a mighty move of the hand of the Lord for miracles, for healings, for deliverance, for restoration, and for promotion, and for open heavens, and for open doors. My goodness gracious to me. I can't wait. Amsterdam, Holland, and Europe. I and my team are praying, and we are getting ready. The Thursday, 9th of May, through the Sunday, 12th of May. 6 p.m. each night, and then on Sunday evening, we will crown it on the 12th with a powerful communion, healing, and impartation, and anointing service. Who are coming? Call a friend and ask them to get ready. It's a Armageddon Prayer and Revival Conference with Apostle General Sam Crunchy and Christ, my name. I'm going to be there personally, and a team from Ghana and from UK and from other parts of Europe are going to be there. It's going to be a united, revelational, and prophetic prayer. Lives will be transformed. Things will happen in the air. Miracles will abound. Testimonies will abound. In Jesus' name. Hey, don't miss it. I'll see you.
That's a message from the Armageddon Prayer Revival Conference Planning Committee. We hope you're preparing yourself. In about 3 weeks from now, we will be having Armageddon, and we're looking forward to you being a part of that great prayer conference for our city and our nation of the Netherlands, the Kingdom of the Netherlands. Well, virtually, we will be airborne with our program, our legal segment, and we're going to be talking about the fate of children who are without a valid residential status. What is the situation now, and which provisions have been made for them to rectify their legal residential status? Stay tuned, we'll be coming your way shortly. Our guest is already in the studio. Introduction, I would like to say that since the case of Mauro Manuel, the Angolan youth, since he's grabbed the spotlight in the Dutch media, much has happened regarding finding the solution to the dilemma of migrant children living in the Netherlands without a valid residential status. In order to throw more light on the subject and to know about some of the recent developments, we have as our guest our good friend Lawyer Clyburg, all the way from Voorburg in the province of The Hague, if I'm correct.
That's correct, Pastor.
He is here. He's called Mr. Anton Clyburg. He's a very professional lawyer in immigration matters. I'd like to say a big welcome. Welcome, sir.
Thank you, Pastor.
Yes. Mr. Clyburg is an immigration lawyer with the law firm Schumann Clyburg de Vries Advocaten in Voorburg, as I mentioned earlier. And I would like us to plunge right away into the discussion. When we speak of kinder pardon or child amnesty, immediately the case of Mauro comes to mind. You mentioned recently in the African Bulletin that there's been some information or development about the child amnesty ruling, and that is in a letter from the Ministry of of Security and Justice dated 21 December 2012. What is the essence of that letter?
Well, Pastor, the essence of the letter is that there will be a kinder pardon, but it will be not a full pardon, but limited only to children with an asylum background.
Mm-hmm.
So it is not for all children, it is a limited pardon.
For children with asylum background. I'm curious to know why would it be related to children with asylum background? Are there that many children with asylum background?
Well, Pastor, as far as I know, there are quite a lot of children in the Netherlands without a residence permit. Not terribly much, but quite a lot.
Mm-hmm.
The cases with an asylum background are far less than the complete group.
Yes.
So I don't know why there is only a pardon for the children with an asylum background, but I suspect that a full pardon would entitle too much children to a residence permit.
So that's why it's been limited to those specifically with asylum background.
I think there was not enough political support to grant a full pardon.
Okay. Now, for the purpose of clarifying this to our listeners, can you explain to our listeners which categories of children have been covered by the so-called kinder pardon? Or is that what you just answered? That is those who are children with asylum backgrounds.
Yes, it is basically the children. There are two rules: the pardon,
yes,
and the wortelingsregeling.
Yeah. Well, we'll get into that shortly because I have a question for that specifically. But what is the application procedure for those who qualify for the kinder pardon?
One must make a phone call to the immigration authorities, to the regular telephone number, explain that you want to make use of the kinder pardon regeling, provide all your details, and then they will send you an application form.
Right. So do those concerned have to do it directly, or a lawyer has to do that on their behalf?
Basically, anyone can do it, but it must be somebody with administrative skills, because The procedure sounds quite simple, and it should be, but even in such a simple procedure, many things can go wrong. Mail can get lost, appointments can be missed. You need somebody with administrative skills. So it's not necessarily a lawyer, but also vluchtelingenwerk, social work, or other people with that administrative skills.
Wow. Okay. Now, in the pardon regulations, you mentioned, and that's the question I'm coming to, that there is a temporary rule. Is it for the kinder pardon? It's a temporary ruling. And there's also the permanent ruling called the waterlings regeling. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Now, can you explain these two situations and why they are so?
Without going too much detail, the rules and regulations are basically the same. But the wortelingsregeling is permanent for children under 18. And on top of that, you have the kinderpardon, which is a temporary ruling. And that is for those who are older than 18, but at the date of the pardon, I believe younger than 21 years old.
And when is the date of the pardon? Is
that
it
was the 1st of February 2013, the pardon came in effect.
Okay.
So at that date, you should be younger than 21 years.
Whoa. It's quite a very limited scope. Yes, I mean, the range within which people must fit to be able to qualify the kids.
Yes, that certainly is, and there are many objections against that limited scope. First of all, I must give a little warning. Those who want to make use of the pardon should do that before the end of April, because at the end of April, the pardon will end.
So there's effectively 15 days more.
That's correct.
For the window to close.
That's correct. For those over 18.
For those over 18.
Those under 18 can apply as long as they are under 18. So please do not wait until you're 18 years old. Apply before that.
Okay, well, let me use this opportunity to welcome our listeners. If you are listening to this program, you have a question or a remark about what we're discussing now about the child amnesty, which has been granted by the Dutch government. You know a child, or you know somebody who may be, who can benefit from this. Please give us a call on the studio line 020-737-1619. You can ask the lawyer any question about whatever you would like to know. And so please take advantage of this. There's a lot of information, a lot of possibility. And so we want you to react quickly and take advantage. Okay. So let me just repeat that. So for the kinder pardon, they may be more than 18 years old, but they are supposed to apply latest by the 30th of this very month.
That's correct, Pastor. That's a crucial date.
Now, for those who want to benefit from the waterless regeling, they must be less than 18 years of age.
That is correct, Pastor.
And they are not limited by the 30th April deadline.
The waterless regeling will exist for indefinite time, of course, until the government maybe withdraw it. But as far as now known, it is the intention of the government to make it a permanent rule.
Okay. Wow. Now, is it that the case of Maro triggered all of these developments that we're talking about now, or there has already been in the pipeline, you know, discussions about extending some sort of amnesty to the children?
Yeah. Well, the case of Maro gave a face to it. It was already for many years that lawyers and also Defense for Children, Vluchtelingenwerk, all social organizations were asking for a pardon for children.
Yes.
And they were asking for a generous pardon for asylum and non-asylum children. But Mauro, being a nice young guy with good intentions and good behavior, he became the face of that request. Because seeing those young men, Mauro, make many people realize, do we really want to send him away?
Yes.
Do we really want that?
Mm-hmm.
No, we don't want that.
Oh, no.
And that was indeed a trigger, a political trigger, for a movement that was already going on for quite a while.
Wow. Awesome. I recall you made reference to something you call some old cases under the Kinder Pardon. And what exactly do you mean by the old cases under the Kinder Pardon, window or provision?
The old cases I meant with that, those who are older than 18 years old and younger than 21 years old, but also, and that's more in my point of view, I mentioned that in the articles in the African Bulletin.
Yeah.
Basically, it was a chain of articles, three articles in a line.
Yes.
And I explained there that there, of course, were many more people who have been living in the Netherlands for already a long time. They have maybe have been born here, maybe they're now 30 years old. And they fall outside of the scope of the pardon. But nevertheless, they have been settled in the Netherlands.
Yes.
And I think those old cases, asylum cases or not asylum cases, should consider asking for the same treatment as those who are entitled to the Kinder Pardon.
Okay, so you're saying that there may be people who are much older, but who perhaps had their youth, grew up more or less, spent a couple of years growing up here in Holland, they could still try to apply for the Kinder Pardon?
Formally not. Practically, I think it would be a good idea
to do that.
There is a movement in the Netherlands now on the moment, and that says the Kinder Pardon, how welcome it is too limited in its scope.
Yeah.
It is limited to those who applied for asylum or had an asylum background and meet some other requirements, which are completely formalistic. Because those who did not apply for asylum and lived here also for a long time, they are just as settled in the Netherlands as those asylum children.
Yes.
So they should be treated in the same way. And now there is a legal point of view is starting to emerge that says basically it would be wise for those who have been living in the Netherlands for the duration of 5 years before they became 18 years old, they should consider to apply for this kind of pardon or the wortelingsregeling anyway, in spite of the fact that they do not meet all requirements.
Yes.
And then you ask for analoge toepassing for the pardon, and you ask for equal treatment as those who are falling in the scope of the pardon, because you are in an equal situation.
Okay.
And that should be, shall not lead to a residence permit on short term, but it will open a very interesting legal debate in several courts. And in the end, it might lead to something good for the person who applied anyway. So I would say, give it a try.
Give it a try. Thank you so very much for that encouraging advice. For those of you who are listening to this program, I believe you find it an interesting development. It is quite stressful to be in a situation whereby, you are in legal limbo, whereby, you don't know whether you will get the residence permit and be legal to stay and be able to carry your life properly. So if you know people who are affected by this situation, let them know in time that there is a period, an opportunity to try to apply for residence permit between now and the 30th of this month, to rectify things. Then you want to say something? Go ahead. Yeah.
And it is for those who are older than 18, they really should do it before the end of this month, no matter what. Those who are on the moment under 18 have some more time, but they should apply while they are under 18.
Okay.
There's no reason for hesitating. The application is not expensive. It is not complicated.
How much is involved, actually?
There is no leases required, so you don't have to pay the government. And most lawyers will be very mild in these matters. Het Juridisch Loket can help people for free. Vluchtelingenwerk can help people for free. You can try it yourself. And for instance, our law firm offered it for a low price of 129 euros. Mm-hmm. But even if somebody is really down and out, well, we will not stick to that.
Okay.
Because it is for children. And I think not only our law firm, but I think other law firm also will be very, well,
considerate,
so considerate with that.
Mm-hmm. Wow, awesome. Well, I think this is very good news for those who are listening. But when talking about the age, I was wondering for those under the kinder pardon, when you talk about 18 plus, is there really an upper limit for the age, really, in this kind of matter? I want to be clear about that.
There is not an... For the kinder pardon, of course, there's an upper limit in age, but it is moving... It is flowing into another arrangement
right
for human...
humanitarian grounds.
Yeah, humanitarian rules.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you have been living here in this country for a very long time, you have been settled, and in realistic terms, one cannot expect you to go where you came from,
mm-hmm.
then although you might not fall in the scope of the kinder pardon...
Mm-hmm.
The kinder pardon is based on Article 8 of the Human Rights Treaty.
Uh-huh.
You are being an adult, you also fall in the scope of the Human Rights Treaty. Although you are not treated as gently as a child, because there are other rules applicable to children than to adults.
Mm. Okay. Now, one of the conditions for the kinder pardon is that the applicant, before the 18th birthday, should have lived in Holland for 5 years uninterrupted, and also and must not have hidden him or herself from the authorities. You want to throw more light on that? Live uninterrupted. How does that mean? What does that mean? And also not hiding himself or herself from the authorities.
That it's a bit of a complicated story, living uninterrupted here. That means just actually living, going to school. That's rather easy to prove.
To prove, yeah.
Because you go to school, you ask for the school reports, things like that.
Yeah.
That can be done.
Uh-huh.
Not hiding from the national authorities, that is a complicated thing. Because, well, if you were not hiding from the national authorities, most likely you have been arrested and detained and perhaps expelled. So that is a kind of limbo.
Mm-hmm.
Also, formally, those national authorities might not know you,
mm-hmm.
but the authorities of the city council do know you. They've registered you in the GBA, and those GBA gegevens will be sent to the Rijksoverheid anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So that will be a thing. Which will cause very, very much debate.
Mm-hmm.
Has somebody been hiding from the Rijksoverheid,
mm-hmm.
from the government,
mm-hmm.
or not?
Mm-hmm.
Personally, I think it is not a requirement that will be understood by many people, because mm-hmm. by its nature, people who are living in this country without a residence permit
mm-hmm.
are not going to spend a visit to the government
for
more than strictly necessary. They like to live in peace and mostly in quiet.
Mm-hmm.
So making such a requirement is not very practical.
That's good. Okay. Now, related to that actually is that there's an issue about giving a false identity.
Mm-hmm.
You know that most people who live without the proper documentation will have some sort of false identity anyway, because they are afraid of being their true identity being known and, you know, getting, you know, becoming victimized as a result of that or being deported or what have you. But you said that there is a sort of pardon that will be given to people under the kinder pardon regeling, who use false identity. In other words, they will be given a chance to confess their true identity under the kinder pardon and be spared. Is that true or not?
That is correct. If they are, Pastor, if they were entitled to the kinder pardon, and using a false identity sounds so harsh, I rather would like to call it an artist name. That is sometimes happening. Sometimes there are mistakes with identities.
Okay.
Many things can go wrong, also in translation of names and things.
Like that.
Mm-hmm. So it is when you have not been making those mistakes more than once, if you only have used one name that is not entirely correct, or one identity, or which is also including your date of birth or your nationality, and you are confessing that it is, it will be forgiven, the government says.
Okay.
And like in the General Pardon of 1998, the government will indeed will keep that promise. If you are really only once giving a name that was not entirely correct.
Mm-hmm.
And that is something you should always discuss with somebody who really knows his business, because if you start confessing all kinds of things, or you tell all kinds of things, you might tell something that is misunderstood and might cause new problems. So it is best always to get
good advice before you
to a legal advisor. Tell everything honestly there. It's like going to the doctor, tell where it really hurts, because otherwise you get the wrong medicine.
Yeah.
And then you will be advised how to act in your case.
Okay. Well, we invite you to give us a call once again if you have any question for Lawyer Kleiwerk over this matter. I believe it's very important, very urgent, especially because of the time limit that is available now for the Kinder Pardon. We have barely 2 weeks to go. So today is the 15th, so we have about 15 more days. It's only 2 weeks to go. So if you know somebody who needs to take advantage of this pardon, amnesty, so-called, please pass on the word quickly or give us a call if you have any questions or remarks regarding this matter. Now, sometimes, you know, I like the way you answer the question about the false identity. But imagine as somebody, uses a different passport. Let's say my name is Kofi, and I decide to call my name Johnson. All right, and I have maybe a false ID with Johnson going about with that, and now I want to take advantage of this. How would I go about that in order not to jeopardize my chances?
My advice is never to commit any kind of fraud. Our office is not cooperating in any kind of fraud, at least not knowingly and willingly.
Yes.
So if somebody says, I have another name and I have another passport.
Yeah.
And I want to use my false identity to obtain any kind of permit.
Mm-hmm.
Then I would say, sorry, I cannot help you with that. I would say that in my office, I say that on the radio. People should not try that. And if they do that, they do it on their own risk and at their own peril. Because using a false identity and false documents is a criminal offense.
Yeah,
they will be usually given sentences for detention about 3 months, onvoorwaardelijk, so not temporarily, but just really 3 months in jail for that. After that, you will get ongewenst verklaard, and you will not be able to get a residence permit nowhere near in the future, at least about 5 or 10 years.
So where then comes the forgiveness? Because that's the part I wanted to clarify.
The forgiveness comes from the fact that if you have been using a false name, one false identity, and you confess that, then you will be given the possibility to give your real identity, and then the case will be closed.
Okay.
So, on the basis of your real identity, you can apply for this permit and go on with your life. Using false documents, a false identity, will never be the basis for a nice, quiet life, because for many, many, even if you succeed for at least 12 years after that, your residence permit can be withdrawn. So by the time that you are having your own business, you're thinking about your grandchildren, you can get a tap on your shoulder that, with a message, well, we need to talk together.
Yes, yes, sir.
I think you have to give your residence permit back to the government. So don't do that.
Thank you. That's a good advice. Very good warning. Now, so back to the two aspects of this whole thing. Under the kinder pardon, somebody who, for some reason, used a false identity from the beginning, maybe forgiven. But that is not the case with the Waterlands Rekeling. Under the Waterlands Rekeling, you said that they will not be given a chance to correct a false identity they may have used from the beginning, if that is the case.
I understood that in the Wortelingsregeling there's also some escape for that.
There is.
But I can imagine that if a child was... I can imagine, it's not really an escape, but if a child was told that his name was so-and-so by his parents, and later it turns out to be different, the question is, of course, can you hold that against a child? I don't think so. But those wortelings of this wortelingsregeling is basically for the new cases. So people with new case can anticipate on that regeling because it's an existing regeling. So people can know that regeling. They can know that situation, and they can adjust their behavior on that. So it is not something that is coming to them with hindsight. Now they can act upon it. So that's the difference between the Wortelingsregeling and the Pardonregeling, and therefore the Wortelingsregeling is a little bit more strict. Let's
see. Hello? Oh, I think we lost that caller. Okay. Well, interesting, interesting. If you're listening to this program, you have a reaction, a remark or a call for Lawyer Clywork, please give us a call now. We don't have the whole time. But once you miss this opportunity, it may be gone. And we would like to repeat that we have about 2 weeks to the closure of the window of opportunity for those who need to apply for the kinder pardon, which the government has instituted for those who have been living in the Holland for at least a minimum of 5 years, and they probably had their 18th birthday or so in the Netherlands, and the government wants to help to rectify their residential status. So if you know somebody who is in this situation, this is the time for them to take advantage and to correct the situation in their lives. Let's try, see if we can take this call. Hello, good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Yes, go ahead.
Please, can you give me off?
Come again?
Can you give me off the line?
No, we're in the program now. Do you have a question for the lawyer or not?
Yeah.
Well, you can speak without mentioning your name. That's okay. You don't have to mention your name. Go ahead, okay, ask a question.
My question is, if somebody is here about 13 years.
13 years.
Yes. And he's an old age.
He's what?
He's an elderly person.
Elderly person, okay.
Yeah. Can the lawyer help certain people to face this authority?
Can a lawyer help the person do what? Okay, yeah. If somebody, the question is, somebody's been here for about 13 years and is in this situation, can he be treated or handled under the kinder pardon or something like that he's saying?
Yes, Pastor, that's possible. Basically, an immigration lawyer like me should be able to receive clients or people like this. They will get information and advice about their specific situation, and then you can decide together it is wise to
go forward
for contact with the authorities, or it is on this moment not wise to go for contact with the authorities.
Okay.
That depends on many, many factors.
Yeah.
And therefore, we also have a spreekuur at my office.
Uh-huh.
So when you call my office with these kind of questions, you get an invitation, or you can ask it by email or so, and then we can have a look at it. It really depends on the case, because in cases like this, there are hardly standard cases.
Okay. Now, so if you are the one who called, the answer is that it would be good to, well, meet the lawyer and then to present your situation, and then together with you, the lawyer will be able to see whether you can benefit from this amnesty that has been spoken about. So you can take a chance and give it a try. But remember, you have only 2 weeks to go if you want to take advantage of this opportunity. Thanks for that call. If you're still listening and you have a question or remark for Mr. Kleinweg, do that in time, because we have just about 5 to 8 minutes to finish the program. Now, the question I want to ask before we take a short break is, can anyone qualify under both the Kinder Pardon and the Waterless Regaling for amnesty?
That's a good question, which I did not think about yet, Pastor. That's true, because you can only have one residence permit and not two.
Yeah.
So it does not matter much. If you're under 18, you should always apply for the Wortelingsregeling.
Uh-huh.
And if you're 18 years or older, you should apply for the Kinderpardon.
Uh-huh.
If one does not fit you, the other one
that should
might,
be able to
might,
fit you.
Might
okay.
will.
Then that is quite, it's good in a way. It gives them more room for maneuver, as a matter of fact. Okay, so if somebody is much older, the person can try the Kinderpardon.
And even if you do not meet the requirements for the Kinderpardon or the Wortelingsregeling, but you have been living here in this country for a terribly long time, think of 20, 25, 30 years.
Yes.
Then it might be, if you have been of good behavior, you have built you got roots here, you have maybe friends or family or church or club or
whatever,
you're a settled person here, then it might be wise to have a look at your situation anyway.
Yes.
Because in immigration law,
yes,
things are very strict, but in some cases, there are rules with exceptions on that, and on top of that, exceptions. So, in some cases, there are things possible where you did not expect them to be possible, while in other cases, it is really impossible. So, it's best to have a good investigation in the case.
Yes.
Don't think I've been in this country for 5 years without a residence permit. Now I want a residence permit. I am entitled to it because one is not. But if one has been here for a long time, has been working for 25 years, then in spite of all rules and regulations, things might be possible.
But how are you?
That is very comfortable. You want to ask the question? Yeah. Go ahead.
How is one supposed to be working when you are undocumented?
Well, that is something from the past.
Uh-huh.
In the past, people could easily work without a SOFI number and without documents. It was quite easy to get the SOFI number. Some people have been working here under their own name, under their own passport, and they were not bothered. So there are people in this country who have been here for 35 years or 30 years and had a working background. Later on, when working became very difficult, at least on semi-official papers, they started working without any kind of documents. Some people are self-employed, they set up businesses, and some of them, I know, they have a real good business case. They make a proper living, but they don't have any kind of documentation. So there are more things possible than you might expect on first glance.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll take a short break now, and we'll be back. In the meantime, if you still have a question, go ahead and give us a call on the studio line 0207371611. We're talking about the Kinder Pardon that is currently available. Well, the good news is there is a window of opportunity, in case you're not aware, under Kinder Pardon, if you have been living in Holland for a couple of years without, at least 5 years without residence permit, you may consider applying for a Kinder Pardon, and the deadline is the 30th of April, this very month. So think wise and think quick, and well, we have the help you need so you can apply.
Parade op donderdag 11 juli. Een kleurrijke optocht door Amsterdam Zuidoost met deelname van sportclubs, dansgroepen, culturele verenigingen en vele anderen. De trots van Zuidoost in een parade dwars door de Bijlmer. Feest, entertainment, maar geen grap, want er zijn prijzen te verdienen voor de beste groepen. Salto is er natuurlijk live bij met een registratie van de volledige parade. Donderdag 11 juli. Kom kijken langs de kant of volg de South East Parade via Salto 2 en salto.nl.
Vrijdag 2 augustus van 10 uur 's avonds tot 5 uur 's morgens presenteren Black Beauty Queens en D-Music Belleke Bekketje Europa Tour in Rane Warehouse Hall 7 te Amsterdam. Een tour met uit Suriname Ghetto Crew. Eveneens uit Suriname, uit Osembo Para, Eva Anders, De Maru en de Love Messengers, La Rouge, New Style uit Suriname, Poppe, DJ Febrice Banks, Tranga Rookie en de Music Lovers, MC Sydney en een verrassing uit Suriname. Tickets aan €15 haal je nu onder andere online via www.bellekiebekketje.com en de verkoopadressen Boston en Dravers in Amsterdam en in Rotterdam billboards. Dus in Rano Warehouse H7. De Belleke Bekketje Tour. Vrijdag 2 augustus. Rano Warehouse H7.